Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to worship together. And I'm so thankful to God for the opportunity to speak, but then also the opportunity to engage in musical worship towards God. But just to be honest, this morning, I think I said it was good to be in the house of the Lord, but I think I'm a little bit more frustrated this morning and confused, because when I was thinking on what to say, I wasn't getting anything. Or there was just too many ideas in my head, and nothing was coming together. So I'm just being candid. I don't know exactly what I'm going to speak on, but if, you know, whenever someone speaks, it is not the person, it's the Holy Spirit that is working in the hearts. The Holy Spirit prepares our hearts to receive the word. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And when we speak forth this word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. So I'm telling you today, if you receive anything, it's not me. It's God alone. And if you know me, you know that this stage is the last place I want to be. I don't enjoy this. I'd rather be doing stuff behind the scenes. But for some reason, I'm always up here. For some reason, God is always pulling me back in this way. This coming Thursday, I will be going to camp to serve in a role that I would have never seen myself doing in spiritual formation. So I ask that you all would pray for me. Because it's something, even when I was younger, it's not something I can conceive in my mind. I cannot see myself doing something like this. But God has led me in this way. So please pray for me. Please pray as I speak, intercede for me, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. So the verse that we're going to look today is found in Deuteronomy. So you guys can open Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, a lot of people don't really enjoy the Old Testament. There's a lot of tricky texts there. There's a lot of things that some people might have issues with. But I love the Old Testament. You know why I love the Old Testament? I love it because of stories like David and Goliath. I love hearing about the Battle of Jericho and all these really interesting stories. You know, as I got older, I was like, no, I love all the gospel accounts because you get to see Jesus a lot more. But I've been in the Old Testament recently, and I've seen so much of God's heart. God's heart is so evident. Chapter to chapter, page to page. Even in these things that might seem tricky, when you're reading the Levitical laws, when you're reading Deuteronomy, when you're reading things in Judges that seem crazy, God's heart is there, page to page. So the verse we're looking at today is Deuteronomy 6, verses 12. I'll read it in my translation. Then take care lest you forget the Lord. And we're just going to focus on that first sentence. Does anyone else have any other translation? NIV, NLT, what is that first bit there? Mine says, then take care. And beware, be careful. Wow. So whoever is speaking right now is telling somebody to be careful. Beware, lest you forget God. Be careful so you do not forget who he is. What he has done. Let's pray real quick. Father God, we come before you and your word, Lord Jesus, in which I am just a student of your word, Lord God. I pray as we look today, Lord, show us your heart. Show us how you love us, Lord. Let this word that is alive and active cut on us to expose sin and expose darkness, Lord God, where your light can shine through. And Lord, I pray you'd prepare our hearts to receive whatever you will say today. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 6. Verses 12, what is the context here? Because I don't want to just jump in and say, you know, what is the application for today? There's something going on here in Deuteronomy 6. So if you know the Bible or you know what goes on in the Old Testament, God selects a certain people group, actually a certain person and his descendants. He chooses Abraham, and he says that he will bless them and he will lead them. And he says he'll bring them to this land, the land of Canaan. What eventually happens is they end up in Egypt. They end up as slaves. God brings them out with a mighty arm, a mighty outstretched arm. He does all these miracles, all these plagues. He splits the Red Sea right in half, and they can walk through on dry land. So God does all these miracles. He brings them to Mount Sinai, and they actually encounter God there, but they're too scared of him. And then also they disobey and they reject God. They make an idol. They go against what he says. But then God is so faithful there, he doesn't leave them or abandon them. He says he will continue to sustain them and continue to uphold them. So then they come to scout out this land that God has promised, the land of Canaan. These spies go, and they say, yeah, this is a great land, flowing with milk and honey, favorable, it looks good. But there's these people in the land that we're really scared of them, so we shouldn't do this. Let's go back to Egypt. And they reject God. And what happens then after that, God allows the Israelites to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And what's happening during this process is God is teaching the Israelites. He's humbling them. And also there's an older generation that has rejected God that will pass away, and their children will eventually continue on into the promised land. This is where we find Deuteronomy. Moses is at the end of his life. They've come out of these 40 years in the desert. And now there's these final things that Moses is saying. He's reminding them. And that's where we find verse 12. He gives them this warning. He says, take care, beware, be careful, lest you forget God. And this is an interesting warning. I think about it. We are quite forgetful, right? We forget our keys. We forget. Say someone, my mom tells me, buy this from the store. I might forget. When she comes out and asks, I'll be like, oh, I completely forgot that I was supposed to get that. So someone might text us and we want to reply to them, but then we forget to reply. And like, so we're so forgetful. I remember I would carry around my water bottle. I would leave it somewhere and then forget where I even put it. Sometimes even when I'm thinking and I'm reading, I can't even remember what I just read. I was reading a study the other day that people today have an attention span of 8 seconds. 8 seconds. The average goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. So you're worse than a goldfish. Do you guys know what verse I'm talking about today? Not joking, I'm joking. But you know, we are very forgetful people. But then when you come to Israel, you ask, how could Israel forget who God is? This God who has done such amazing things, who brought them out of Egypt with all these plagues, who split the seas, who gave them manna in the desert, who fed them, who encountered them on Mount Sinai. How can they forget this God? Well, it's actually quite possible. And throughout Deuteronomy, we can see God, where he's outlining ways in which Israel may be prone to forgetting who God is. And we can see this. The first way that Israel may forget God is that when a generation does not know who God is. You see, this previous generation that died in the wilderness, they're the ones who saw the plagues. They're the ones who saw the sea get split. They're the ones who encountered God at Mount Sinai, but now they're all dead. And it's their children. And they haven't really experienced God the same way. So the previous generation has the responsibility to pass on things down to the next generation. But time and time throughout Israel's history, we see that this doesn't happen. We don't see this handing off. Thus, we get a generation that does not know God and has not seen God the same way that their parents did. And this is the state of Israel here in Deuteronomy. We see in Joshua 5 verse 7, just a little while after Moses dies, in chapter 5 verse 7, it's very interesting there that the men of Israel are being circumcised for the first time. There's grown men who haven't been circumcised. So circumcision is the covenant between God and Abraham. All of his descendants will be circumcised. But for whatever reason, throughout the wilderness, they don't practice this, right? So there hasn't been a passing on to the next generation. And we see even further in Israel's history in the book of Judges. Can someone read Judges 2, verses 10 to 12? Judges 2, verses 10 to 12. That's good. Thank you. See, the next generation comes. They don't know who God is or what. It hasn't been passed down, and now they've forgotten God. And they don't know God's commands. They neglect God's commands, and they don't fear God. They don't revere God. That's one way Israel may forget God, when they don't pass things on to the next generation. The next way they may forget God is when they become prideful. See, God wants to give Israel a really amazing gift, the land of Canaan, this land flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. Yet, throughout Israel's story, they tend to prize the gift more than the giver, the one who gave them this land. They forget God, and they believe that what they have achieved is by their own hand, by their own strength, by their own ability, by their own intellect, their own resources. Can someone read Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 12 for me? 6, 10 to 12. This is right before our focus verse for today. So it gives context why Moses even says, be careful. That's good. Thank you. See? Also, Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. Can someone read that verse too? 8:17. That's good. See? Through pride, we can forget God. We neglect that this idea that we are to appreciate him and thank him. We fail to recognize that it is only by his strength that we have been able to come through. This is what Israel falls victim to. Israel could only enter the promised land because of God's help. These are the same people when they saw the people who were living in Canaan. They're the same ones who said, they're too big for us to handle. We can't face them. We can't do this. Let's go back to Egypt. And also, there's other places in the Bible where you can recognize that Israel is not this huge military power. They do not have all these chariots and all these weapons. They're so small, it is only God that brings them to the promised land. Yet, with all of this, if you read, you see the story, how it goes throughout the Bible. Despite this, despite the warning, Israel forgets who God is. We see them later on in Judges. They don't know him. They do not fear him. They do not revere him. They become prideful and they're led away. Again, God lets them be taken away by other things. It's a sad story, but there are some things that we can take away from it. That's the beautiful thing about Scripture. There's a context in which the author is writing to, but that same word can speak to us today. It is alive and active. So, church, I want to remind you that God warns us all today. Be careful, lest we forget God, because that can happen to us as well. The thing for us is there's still time to be careful. There's still time to turn to God. Israel's time, they have forgotten God and they've rebelled. One day God will make things right. One day God will restore them and they will know him as God, again, as a true God. But we still have the time today to remember him and be careful. And we are just as forgetful as Israel, if not more. And I think there's many more distractions today which can enable us to forget who God is. So how can we prevent our forgetfulness? What can we do to combat this? Can someone read Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 20. And I want you to read one verse, and I'll say something. Then read the next verse, and I'll say something. So if you have it, you can read. Does anyone have it there? That's good. Yes. So here Moses is saying, treasure the words of God. Keep it in your heart. Hold it close. There's those words there, bind it to your hand, let it be a sign on your hand, let it be frontlets between your eyes. There was this practice that Jewish people have where they have this little box that they attach to their hand or to their forehead, and in that there are scriptures. Now, this can reach a point where people feel like, oh, look at me, I'm so holy. I have the words here, right here on my forehead, on my hand, I'm always reading it. But what Jesus wants us to know is that keep the word at the forefront of your mind. Just like how they had frontlets here, it would hang here from their forehead, so they'd always see it. There would be scriptures at the front of their face. In the same way, hold the word of God at the forefront of your mind at all times. Reggie Uncle, you can read the next verse, verse 19. That's good. See, parents, this is your responsibility, first and foremost, to teach your children the ways and the words of God. I love what is written there. It says, it's encompassing all times, when you wake up, when you sleep, when you're at the breakfast table, dinner table, when you're at the lunch table, talk about the word of God. Discuss it with your children. Speak to them. So it's at the forefront of your mind, but then it's also at the forefront of your children's, your kid's mind. So that's how you do not forget the Lord. Can you read verse 20? Write them on your doorposts, on your gates. So you always see it. As you leave the house, you see it. As you enter the house, you see it. You can put up maybe some like memory verses on your wall. Why not? Remind yourself. Let it be frontless to your eyes so you know that the word of God is always dwelling within your mind. And young people, study the scriptures. Your parents' faith is not enough. You have to think, why do I believe what I believe? Do I believe what I believe because my parents believe it? It's going to be just like the Israelites. Their parents experienced God in Egypt. But now, do they have that same experience? If you seek God, you will find him. So look to the word and you will find him. And then when you're older, you will remember him. You will not forget him. Next, I want the next point to how we can remember God. Can we look to Deuteronomy 8, verse 18? Thank you. Do not become prideful. Check your pride always, all the time. All that we have is from God. All that we have. When we forget this, when we fail to appreciate God, we will forget God. You know, many of us here, I think we all have very humble beginnings, do we not? Very humble beginnings. We, at times in our lives, struggled. We cried, we were on our knees, we prayed, we asked God for help. And God brought you from a lowly place. He brought you to a place that you could never expect, not by your own power. Now things are good. Now we have a nice car, a nice house, a steady job, our children are doing well, and maybe we have a healthy investment portfolio and a bank account that you like to look at. But do not forget God in these things, because all good gifts are from him. Appreciate him, thank him, because when we fail to do that, we come to a place where we think, I did this. This is something my hard work brought this to be. That's not true. Finally, can someone read Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 to 23. That's good. Thank you. Remember your testimony. Remember what God has done in your life. Marvel at what God has done in your life. Thank God for what he's done in your life. Continuously remember and speak it out and tell others about what God has done, what God has brought you through. And take care, church, because the devil has a very effective strategy these days. If he doesn't get you with doubt and unbelief, he'll get you with busyness. He'll keep you so busy, so tired, you don't have time for God. You don't have time to read the word, to pray. You don't have time to tell your children about God and his truths. And what happens is you forget God. With busyness, we fail to appreciate the simple things of life. We fail to see God in creation, how he's there in the birds and in the stars, and when we look at trees. Like, we fail to realize these simple things. And then also, when we become so busy, our spiritual man is choked out. And you slowly begin to forget who God is. So remember your testimony. Remember the power of your testimony, what God has done, where he has brought you through. And I'm just going to come to, as I close up, I'm going to come to Deuteronomy 6, verse 12 again. Can you just put up on the screen here? Then be aware, be careful, take care, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What is Egypt for us? What is the house of bondage for us, for the Christian? What slavery have we been freed from? It is slavery to sin. This is our bondage. This is what we were enslaved to, where we had no power on our own to save ourselves, where we were damned. We were left to eternal damnation. We were to be separated from God, but Jesus freed us from this captivity. Remember that. Remember that. Never let that leave your mind. Teach that to your children. Tell that to everybody you know. How God has brought you out of Egypt and he has freed you. He has changed your heart. He has transformed you. We who are Gentile believers who were so far out, we had no place even in the city. If we were in the city, maybe some people would look at us funny. But God brought us in. And so we can know God. We've received so much grace. We can approach him at any time. We can know him. Man, Christianity is the only religion that I know where God has a personal relationship with his followers. And that's only because of what Jesus did. That's not by our righteousness or by our strength that we are right with God. It's only because Jesus' blood, the price he paid on the cross, the price that we could not pay. So we can now approach him. Let's just pray before we close off. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. Yes, you have brought us from a lowly place. You have blessed us with gifts that we could not even imagine, Lord. We thank you because you are the gift giver. All good gifts come for you. We thank you for the good things you do in our lives. But most importantly, God, we thank you for what you've done through your son, Jesus. How you forgave us. You healed us of sin. Sin which unmakes us. Sin which distorts us, which makes us evil. You saved us and you freed us, oh God. We thank you for that we can know you because of the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that you would enable us as a church, Lord, to remember you throughout all areas of life, Lord God. That we would teach the next generation, Lord Jesus. That we would remember ourselves, that you would keep us from becoming prideful, that we would never forget you, that when we wake and when we sleep, you would be always on our minds, and all the time in between, we would remember you and give you all the glory and honor and praise. Thank you once again, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.